earlier today we spoke about the personalities who were from Champahati. No, Kumarahata. Shivananda Sen and Ishwarapuri, the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We didn't go there, but we went to a place that's 3 kilometers south, going down the Ganga to Panihati. We're going to discuss Panihati. That's something that we didn't have time to discuss about Panihati. Is the life of Raghava Pandit. One of the things that it's unavoidable to appreciate is when you go to Mayapur and visit the places of Mahaprabhu and his associates, the realization of how elevated were the associates of Mahaprabhu, how many of them there were, and how different their relationships with Lord Chaitanya were. Each very unique. Very, very amazing personalities. Raghava Pandit was one of them. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a explanation that there were 4 places where Mahaprabhu would always reside. One of them was in the house of Mother Sachi. Even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Puri, he was residing in the house of Mother Sachi. And he wanted to prove it to Mother Sachi. So he gave, one devotee was going to visit Mayapur from Puri. So Lord Chaitanya said, please tell Mother Sachi that I, when she makes her offerings, I am there every day. I personally accept her offerings, and to prove it to her, remind her of an incident where she was making an offering and everything was gone from the plate before she even completed saying the prayers for the offering. And she thought, maybe I was just imagining, maybe I never even put anything on the plate. And she went back and saw at the stove that she had taken things from the cooking pot and put on the plate. So then she took the Lord's plate and put it back again, filled it again with all the different items and placed it on the altar, was making her prayers, and I ate it all again. She was thinking, what? Maybe I should lie down. I don't know. Maybe I'm losing my mind. But I'm personally there. Tell her, I'm personally there. And I accept her offerings, and sometimes to prove to her, to demonstrate, I take it. It's gone. Because Mother Sachi wouldn't eat anything that wasn't first offered. So Mahaprabhu every day ate everything, she would fast and she would die. So he said, I don't eat everything all the time. I'm there. So he's always there in the house of Mother Sachi. He's always present when Lord Nityananda is dancing. Prabhupada taught us that one. He said, whenever we have our congregation chanting, even if there's nobody else there, Lord Nityananda comes and he dances. And when Lord Nityananda comes and dances, Lord Chaitanya comes and he dances with Lord Nityananda. And when those two lords are there, Srivas Thakur comes and Advaita Acharya comes and the devotees of Lord Chaitanya all come and join the Sankirtan. Just always chant the holy name in Sankirtan. All the associates of the Lord will be there. He is eternally present in the house of Shiva's Thakur during the kirtan, eternally present. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says he's eternally present in the house of Raghava Pandit. In Krishna's Leela, we find in Gaura Gunadesh Deepika that Raghava Pandit is none different than Dhanishta. Dhanishta is a servant who takes the prasad that Srimati Radharani prepares for Krishna and brings it to Krishna. She brings so much prasadam to Krishna. And then after Krishna takes the prasadam, the cooking of Srimati Radharani, she brings back the remnants of Krishna to Radharani. So she has intimate service for both Radha and Krishna. So Raghava Pandit, with the assistance of his sister Damayanti, in Krishna's Leela, she's Gunamala, who would be an assistant of Dhanishta and would help her in that way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated not just Raghava Pandit and his sister were good cooks, but their devotion was so transcendental that he loved taking whatever it was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prepared, whatever Raghava Pandit prepared. There's a whole chapter describing Raghavera jelly, the bags of Raghava Pandit. When the devotees would go from, you were discussing Jivananda Saint with the devotees from West Bengal to go to Puri every year for the Rath Yatra. For 2 months in advance, Damayanti would be preparing things. And the acharyas describe that just as in Braja Leela, they don't see Krishna as God, they see him as their darling son or their dear friend, or they see him not in divinity. So Damayanti had that relationship where she was thinking just with such unrestrained devotion how to make things that Lord Chaitanya would like. But then, if he would eat too much of what he liked, then he might get too much mucus. And then maybe become sick from too much mucus. So she made very, very special preparations that would reduce mucus in the body. But she knew how to prepare them so that they would stay fresh, without refrigeration, all year long. She made the whole chapter describing the condiments and the sweets and the baked items and this and that, and so many different kinds of mango pickle and mango flour and green mango and white mango, and how to grind it and powder it and take the powder and mix it with other things, and it's like detail. She 2 months every day, all day long, just making. Then she would put in little bags and tie the bags, put the bags in another bag, and the other bags in a big bag, and a big bag, and a bigger bag, and the bags of Raghava Pandit. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would eat the cooking of Damayanti and Raghava Pandit every day for the rest of the year after everybody returned, because he appreciated so much the cooking of Raghava Pandit and Damayanti because of their devotion. How much dear, because of his devotion, how much dear was Raghava Pandit to Lord Chaitanya? It was just so unique. One time Lord Chaitanya was visiting Srivas Pandit in Kumarahata mentioned earlier today, after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Vasudev Dutt and Srivas Pandit and his brothers couldn't bear seeing Navadvip minus Lord Chaitanya, going to all the places where they were so accustomed to seeing the Lord. But he wasn't there. So it was too much for them to bear. So they left Navadvip and they went to stay with Sivananda Singh. So one time Lord Chaitanya went to visit Sivananda Singh in Kumarahata. And from Kumarahata he was going then to visit, just 3 kilometers away, visit Raghava Pandit. And when Raghava Pandit, he just knew that Lord Chaitanya was coming. He didn't like get a telephone call or, you know, send an email. He knew in his heart, he knew that Lord Chaitanya was coming. So he got up from his house and he ran down the street to greet Lord Chaitanya. And when he saw Lord Chaitanya, he stood before him and just began trembling, and he collapsed at his feet and just overwhelmed with emotion to see him. And Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him very strongly and said, the devotion that Raghava Pandit has for me has taken away all of my distress. He says, being in his presence is just like taking a refreshing bath in the Ganges. I always reside in the house of Raghava Pandit. When Lord Chaitanya came, he called for his other associates in the area to come and join him. Immediately they came to join. And he pulled, this is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he requested Raghava Pandit to come speak with him privately. And when speaking with him privately, he instructed him in detail of how Lord Nityananda and he were actually one. They were non-different. The place where Panihati, where the place where Lord Nityananda was sitting, where the Panihati, the Chidadahi festival took place. You can, in the bank of the Ganges, you can see up the river. The river takes a bend. And just a couple kilometers up is Kardaha, where Lord Chaitanya lived. Where Lord Nityananda lived in his married life with Janata and Vasudha. So Raghava Pandit was very familiar with Lord Nityananda, but because, like we were discussing earlier today, the behavior of Lord Nityananda was sometimes hard to understand. The Mahaprabhu very much wanted, especially his intimate associates, to understand the unique position of Lord Nityananda. He wanted them to accept him as much as they accepted him. Once Lord Chaitanya told Makara Dvaja was a initiated disciple of Raghava Pandit. He told Makara Dvaja, the disciple, that your service and worship of your spiritual master, Raghava Pandit, is the same as worshiping me, because we are not different. I'm in the heart of Raghava Pandit. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a very elaborate description of the quality of Raghava Pandit's devotion. Raghava Pandit was very, very wealthy. Even the residential place where he resided, I mean, now the walls are no longer there, but because the system in India was and still is that residential places had a boundary wall. And it was huge because he was fabulously wealthy. And part of his wealth was a large tract of agricultural land, and the agricultural land, he had coconut trees. He had 100 coconut trees. But if Raghava Pandit, so they were free. I mean, it's his land, and he just could go take coconut trees, coconuts from the coconut trees and make offerings. But if he heard there were special, very sweet coconuts, even 10 miles away, he would send his servants with money to go buy those very special coconuts. He would pay 4 times the market price just to make sure he got the very best. And they would bring the whole, you've seen the whole strand or a cluster of coconut still on the vine, so it would be completely fresh, not even cut from the vine. Come back another 10 miles walking just to bring these heavy coconuts to offer to his deity. So it describes that one time when the servants had gone to get the coconuts and they were waiting at Raghava Pandit's door and he was occupied with something, he had placed his hand by the door frame. And when Raghava Pandit saw that he had placed his hand, which was holding the coconut branch, on the frame of the door, he said, "Oh, this is, now the coconuts are contaminated." Because people walk, and when they walk, the dust goes into the air, and the air, the dust settles on the door frame, and now you put your hand on the door frame. You take the coconuts and throw them over the wall. Go back and get new ones. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, "Don't think that he has some kind of cleanliness phobia. He was some kind of an obsessed personality. It was an expression of his devotion that he couldn't even think of offering the very best. Anything, nothing but the very best. And if and anything less than the very best was just not to be offered. Go back and get some more. Here's some more rupees. Go back and get some more. Don't place your hand on that door frame." Such was his devotion. And that together with the devotion of his sister Damayanti, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was happy to accept anything that they prepared for him. One time, during Lord Nityananda's travel, after he had left Puri under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order with some of his associates, he came to Panihati, and Lord Nityananda was very much moved by the devotion of Raghava Pandit, the first time they had personally met. So much moved by his devotion. So he requested, there were three brothers, the Ghosh brothers, Vasudev Ghosh and Mukunda Ghosh and Govinda Ghosh, and they asked them to begin kirtan in front of the deity of Raghava Pandit. And the kirtan was so ecstatic that Lord Nityananda went into a trance. He just froze and stood there motionless for hours. Then after some time, his mood changed. And he just began dancing in ecstasy. And after he was dancing in ecstasy for some time, his mood changed. And he went and sat down on the altar. Fortunately, the altar didn't break. And as he was seated on the altar, he was in a, like sitting there like a deity. And so the associates of Mahaprabhu and Raghava Pandit decided, "Let's perform Abhishek." So they made an elaborate Abhishek and just bathed Lord Nityananda. And after bathing Lord Nityananda, all his clothes were wet. They took his clothes and put on fresh clothes and put on a fresh garland. And Murtitananda was smiling. And then he said, he performed a miracle. He said to Raghava Pandit, bring me a garland of kadamba flowers. And Raghava Pandit said, but my dear Lord, this is not the season. There's no kadamba flowers growing anywhere. And Lord Nityananda said again, go around in your courtyard, find the kadamba flowers and bring a kadamba garland. They went and they didn't find any kadamba flowers on the kadamba tree, but on a lime tree they saw abundant kadamba flowers. So Raghava Pandit picked the kadamba flowers from the lime tree and made a kadamba garland and placed the kadamba garland around Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda said, begin the kirtan. And when they began the kirtan, everyone could smell a very strong fragrance of Dhammanaka flowers. So Raghava Pandit went to Lord Nityananda and said, can you explain the Dhammanaka flowers? Where is this? I don't see any Dhammanaka flowers. He said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come all the way from Puri wearing a Dhammanaka flower garland just to join the kirtan here at the house of Raghava Pandit. The main feature of Panihati, just like in our Atlanta temple, they call the temple Blue Panihatis every year. Instead of having the traditional Rath Yatra, they have their Panihati festival. And our devotees from Mayapur, they go to Panihati, they bring the prasad and serve the prasad, and it's becoming an ever increasingly popular festival, although it's always been a wonderful festival. And literally hundreds of thousands of people come, not just because of serving of the prasad, it's just the glorification of this wonderful pastime that took place at Panihati with Lord Nityananda and Raghunath Das Goswami. So I thought I would describe, as we did when we went to Panihati, a little bit about the life of Raghunath Das Goswami. And with that background, the Leela with Lord Nityananda that took place there. Raghunath Das Goswami was the son of Govardhan Majumdar, and he was the only son. And his elder brother, Govardhan's elder brother, Haranya Majumdar, also had no sons. So the inheritor of the wealth of the Majumdar family, Majumdar was a title, meant that they were like landholders or zamindars in the language of the time. There was the king and all following same as the Vedic process. Under the king there were landholders, and the landholders were like brokers of the king's land. They would oversee different people could use the land, and they had to pay taxes to the landholder. The landholder would then give taxes to the king. This way the king would get his taxes. It was like the in-between person between the king. And the people that used the land. And the territory that the Majumdar family looked after was so vast that the Majumdar family was one of the wealthiest families in all of India, according to the historical records. Their annual income in rupees at that time was 600,000 rupees per year. And it describes that judging or valuing the price of rice then, the price of rice today, it's like 300 times, or more than 300 times, the value of the rupee then compared to today. So you do the math, and it comes out to their monthly income was, in dollars, $450,000, like $500,000 a month. $450,000 a month income. They're a very wealthy family. And there was one son who was the heir to that wealth, and that was Raghunath. Except that from his childhood, Raghunath had no interest at all in the opulence of the family, much to the dismay of his parents. But he had great devotion. When Raghunath was just a small boy, he had his first opportunity to associate with a pure devotee in the form of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur had previously lived in Bangladesh, or near the Bangladesh-West Bengal border, and in the town of Benapole. I've been there, it's a nice place, where this incident took place with Ram Chandra Khan and the sending of the prostitute to try to get him to fall down, and instead the prostitute became a pure devotee in association of Haridas Thakur. And so Haridas Thakur left that place, and in the course of his travels he came to the residence of Bhagavan Acharya. Bhagavan Acharya was the family priest of the Majumdars. Besides being very wealthy, the Majumdars were Vaishnavas. So when Bhagavan Acharya came to understand how absorbed in the chanting of the holy name was Haridas Thakur, he invited Haridas Thakur to meet the Majumdars. So while he was spending time with the Majumdar family, Raghunath, little boy, had the opportunity to associate with Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur could see so much devotion in Raghunath. He gave his blessings, instructed him in ways of devotional service, particularly in the chanting of the holy name. So after that, Haridas left. And from the time that Haridas left, Raghunath's devotion just kept increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing until the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he heard of the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became very attracted to get his association. The first time that Raghunath, now a young man, had the opportunity to associate with Lord Chaitanya was on the occasion of Lord Chaitanya's taking sannyas. Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas at Katwa. By Lord Nityananda's tricks, he was redirected instead of to Vrindavan to the house of Advaitacharya. Because the Majumdar family had a relationship with Advaitacharya, they went to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he had taken sannyas, and Raghunath Das then met Lord Chaitanya. And his attraction for the message and the mood and the love of the gift of Lord Chaitanya's love that he was giving to everyone became out of control. He wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya, but he was unable to go with Lord Chaitanya. he, Raghunath, heard that Mahaprabhu was going to Puri, so he made his attempts to go join Lord Chaitanya in Puri. He just like left home. And his father, Govardhan, was being very wealthy. He hired people to go capture him and bring him back. It happened again and again and again. It happened 11 times. He hired 12 people around the clock to stay and guard him, make sure that he didn't escape. And if he somehow snuck out, he was captured and brought back. Raghunath was one frustrated young man. He wanted to be with Lord Chaitanya. So, the second time that Raghunath had the personal association of Lord Chaitanya was during the journey that Lord Chaitanya was making to go to Vrindavan. After Lord Chaitanya resided in Puri for some time, he made a South Indian trip, visited the holy places of South India. He was gone for 2 years. He came back to Puri. He stayed in Puri for about another year, and then he was wanting to go to Vrindavan. So instead of going directly to Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya went to make visits to the places in Navadvip where his devotees, he was giving his association to the devotees in Navadvip. And he went as far as Kanai Natashala, and then he started heading south and going in a westerly direction. And he spent some time at Shantipur, which is the house of Advaitacharya. So once again, Raghunath heard Lord Chaitanya is at the house of Advaitacharya. So he requested permission from his father to go, and his father said no. Raghunath Das kept pleading and pleading and pleading. Finally, his father relented on one condition. You go and come back quickly. I'm going to send 8 men to make sure you come back. So Raghunath went with Lord Chaitanya. And, excuse me, Raghunath went with the associates, and he had an opportunity to spend some time directly in private with Lord Chaitanya. And he poured out his heart to Lord Chaitanya and expressed what his sick predicament was. He had no attraction for the worldly life that his father had in mind for him. And he only had one thing. He just wanted to be with Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya gave him some very strong instructions, very nice instructions. Essentially, the instructions were, don't be a market of vairagya, a false renunciate. Don't impulsively leave your duties of life. You should go back home. Live your life in a way an ordinary person leads their life. Inwardly, cultivate your devotion to Krishna. And as you inwardly cultivate your devotion to Krishna, surely in course of time, Krishna will show his mercy upon you. And you'll have your opportunity to be in full service to Krishna. Follow that instruction. So, Raghunath Das took it seriously. He returned with the guards back to his father's place, and he was living his life in such a seemingly attached householder way that his father was thinking, at last, our son has gotten some sense in him, and now we can release some of the guards and our surveillance. Then a situation happened that's very nicely described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the Majumdar family were caught cheating. The arrangement with the Turkish king was that he had like a go-between. There's the king, then there's another title called Chaduri. The Chaduri was the representative of the king, and the Chaduri gathered the taxes from each of the zamindars. And he, the Chaduri, would keep a little percentage for himself, authorized by the king to do so, and he kind of went around and gathered up the money from the zamindars. Because the Majumdar family were so qualified and so elevated and so trustworthy, the king made a special deal with the Majumdar family. They didn't have to give the money to the Chaduri, they could give it directly to the king. So naturally that made a little problem with the Chaduri, because he lost his percentage and his, you know, his stronghold, his position, his exclusive give the taxes to me position. So he had his enmity with the Majumdar family. We started going around and finding out how much people were giving to the Majumdar family, and found out from the king how much he was giving to the king, and he was cheating. He would collect X, and he was allowed to keep one quarter of X and give the three quarters to the king, but instead he was keeping more than one quarter X. So he told it to the king. And the king then made some arrangement to tell the Majumdar family, if you're not giving me the full amount, you should give the full amount. Don't be dishonest. And so the Majumdar family could understand they're in big trouble. So they made themselves scarce. They left town. So the Chaduri personally came to get the money to give to the king, so he'd be in the good standing with the king. But both Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar were not anywhere to be found. So when he came to the Majumdar family, there was this young man, Raghunath Das. And so he had him arrested and said, you tell me where your uncle or your father, I will personally beat you with this stick. He raised the stick, threatening him. And Raghunath Das was so pure and so innocent and so expert in diplomacy. He was demonstrating, were he a materialist, he'd be really good at it. He melted the heart of the Chaduri and said, with your position and your age, you're like my uncle. And in family matters, everybody knows my father is my father, and my uncle Hiranya is my uncle, and you're my uncle. And sometimes in family matters there's some disagreements, but family members don't take it very seriously. They work out their disagreements. I'm sure we can work out something where, you know, you don't have to beat me, and my father and uncle will see if we get some money. And the sweetness with which he spoke is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Chaduri began crying. Tears were rolling down his beard, it says. And he said, I don't want to harm you. It's not fair. I should receive some of this money too. That's what I want. He just like was very direct about it. If you can make that arrangement, I'm sure there can be a very peaceful solution. And so, by the expert diplomacy of Raghunath Das, it was arranged that some money would go to the Chaduri, and the Chidori was quiet so the Majumdar family could go on with their business undisturbed. And when Govardhan came to understand what deal his son had brokered, he thought, wow, this is it. He'll be able to inherit all of our wealth and all of our position and our landholding, and our son has finally made it. But internally, Raghunath Das was cultivating, as his father had said, he was deepening his devotion to Krishna. So after some time, he couldn't take it anymore, and he tried to run away again. Again, he was caught. So he was beside himself with this grief. So we'll go back, and everything, he had a natural disposition for devotion, but through the association of Haridas Thakur, it's a principle. Through the association of a devotee, one's natural attraction for Krishna is kindled and awakened. And through that association with the devotee, his desire to be in unmixed service and devotion to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became stronger and stronger and stronger. But it was somehow not happening. Even with the instruction, apparently, with the instruction that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given him, it wasn't happening. Then he heard that Lord Nityananda was in the vicinity and that he was at the house of Raghava Pandit in Panihati, and that he was planning to have a big festival. So he thought, this is my chance. If I can somehow get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, then I'm sure I'll be able to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Which is how it works. And it worked that way with Lord, with Raghunath Das. So he went to Panihati, and when he arrived in Panihati, there were crowds and crowds and crowds of people to be in the association of Lord Nityananda and receive his mercy. So when Raghunath Das came, he saw him from a distance sitting under a tree, and that very tree is still there, right by the side of the Ganga. Very huge tree. And he paid his obeisances from a distance. And Lord Nityananda saw him in the crowd. He said, who is that? There's a thief. Bring that thief here. So they quickly ran and got Raghunath and brought him. Raghunath paid his obeisances right before Lord Nityananda's feet, and Lord Nityananda put his feet on his head, both feet on his head. He said, you thief! You have great wealth, and you're not using it at all in service to the devotees. I punish you. You must use all this wealth to feed all the devotees for this festival. Raghunath got up and was next to see him. Been given some service to do for Lord Nityananda. So the detailed description is there. The menu, as it was arranged by Lord Nityananda, was chipped rice soaked in dahi and some other kind of rice soaked in kheer, mixed with camphor, something like that. So, because Raghunath Das had so much wealth, he made arrangement for the pot makers to bring as many pots as they could, and the suppliers of dairy products to bring the kheer and bring the milk and mix everything, and people and offer to Raghava Pandit's deity. And because Lord Nityananda was there, and there were thousands and thousands of people when the prasad distribution was going on, there wasn't room for everybody to sit and take prasad. So they were standing and taking prasad. And then more people came, and there wasn't enough room to stand and take prasad, so they were standing in the Ganga taking prasad, but there were two pots of rice and milk product. And then more people were coming, and more people were coming, so he ordered for more pots and more ingredients, and this went on all day long, the Panipati festival. And in the evening, everyone went to the house of Raghava Pandit, and they had a huge kirtan. During that huge kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came. And with Lord Nityananda, they were going around taking some rice from one pot and putting it in the mouth of the other. Lord Nityananda would take and put it in the mouth of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya would take and put it in the mouth of Lord Nityananda. And throughout the whole crowd, everyone could see Lord Nityananda moving, but they couldn't see Lord Chaitanya moving. They couldn't see Lord Chaitanya moving about. Except Raghunath Das could see. You can understand that Lord Chaitanya was giving his special mercy. And huge kirtan. And after the huge kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Raghava Pandit to prepare prasad. They made a huge feast for Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and all the devotees. And when the feast was completed, he then gave the remnants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Raghunath Das. So the next morning, Raghunath Das approached Lord Nityananda and disclosed to him his dilemma, that he had no desire in the world except to be with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given him the formula of how that could happen. And he was following his instructions, but still wasn't happening. So he was pleading with Lord Nityananda, please give your mercy that I can be with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his service. So Lord Nityananda was so happy with him and said that one who has such devotion as you should surely will be soon very blessed by Krishna. Your desires will be fulfilled. And he requested all the devotees, please give your blessings to Raghunath Das that his desires will be fulfilled. And told him, as Mahaprabhu had said, go back home. Very soon your desire will be fulfilled. So he did. And the details are described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where, and I mentioned this earlier today, by a trick, he was able to escape. And when he escaped, he was successful. This time his father couldn't find him, or the hired people, the guards, the constables couldn't find him. They went all the way to Puri alone, and came into Lord Chaitanya's association, who immediately recognized and embraced Raghunath Das, gave him residence in the care of Srup Damodar, and for the balance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's manifest pastimes, Raghunath Das remained in Puri in a very renounced state of life in the care of Srup Damodar. And it's because Raghunath Das was in the care of Srup Damodar that he not only experienced the Leela of Lord Chaitanya, but he was receiving the inner meaning and the inner moods of Lord Chaitanya, because Srup Damodar could understand, because he had that capacity. So he disclosed all of that to Raghunath Das. Then when Lord Chaitanya left this world, shortly after, out of separation, Srup Damodar left this world, Raghunath Das was also prepared to leave this world. But Chaitanya had given him a Govardhan Shila. So he decided he would go to Govardhan, pay his respects to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and then jump from Govardhan Hill and give up his life. But Rupa and Sanatan, understanding the heaviness of his heart and his mood, they could understand what his plan was, and they told him, you can't do this. You've been in Lord Chaitanya's association for so many years, and we've been in separation, serving here in Vrindavan. You know all of his leela. You should stay here in Vrindavan and describe his leela every day for 3 to 4 hours. Sit under this tree and describe for all the devotees Lord Chaitanya's leela in Jagannath Puri. So under the order of Rupa and Sanatan, he did that. And one of the persons in the audience who would hear from him every day was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And on the order of the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan took Krishnadas Kaviraj to write what he had heard from Raghunath Das. So we're benefiting today from that sequence of events, hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, because it will go back. Prabhupada speaks about this many times, and our acharyas also. In order to get the mercy of Krishna, we need the mercy of Srimati Radharani. To get the mercy of Srimati Radharani, we need the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. To get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we need the mercy of the devotees of the Lord. So in that sequence, Raghunath Das demonstrated, like a wonderful leela, by the association of Haridas, he develops an attraction for Lord Chaitanya and his teachings. But not without the mercy of Lord Nityananda could he get Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association. With the mercy of Lord Nityananda, he got Lord Chaitanya's association. And through Lord Chaitanya's association, he got the mercy of Radha and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Govardhan Shila and a string of gunja berries. These gunja berries grow readily in Vrindavan, and they're often used to decorate Govardhan Shilas. And it's understood these gunja berries represent Srimati Radharani. So he was given what Raghunath Das understood was Lord Chaitanya was giving him residence by Govardhan Hill and the mercy of Srimati Radharani by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we get the mercy of Radha and Krishna by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, the original spiritual master is Lord Nityananda, or Lord Balaram, who is Nityananda Ram. The spiritual master is one who brings us to Krishna, brings us to the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who brings us to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who brings us to the shelter of Radha and Krishna. That's our method of the cyclic succession of descending mercy. Therefore, it's the pastimes and the teachings, both, again and again, point to how important it is to get Lord Nityananda's mercy, as Raghunath Das at Panihati. So that's the festival. The Panihati festival is commemorating that, the receiving of Lord Nityananda's mercy by such a wonderful devotee as Raghunath Das, and to inspire us also to be eager to receive the mercy of Lord Nityananda. When Prabhupada had us worship the beginning worship that we did in ISKCON was started with Panchatattva, and then when the first deity that was given was Gornatai, from Panchatattva picture to Gornatai deities. And we approach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the mercy of Lord Nityananda. We approach the mercy of Lord Nityananda through the mercy of the spiritual master. That's how the process works. How we can come to the stage of love of Radha and Krishna by that method. So it's a very nice place, Kalimati. When we were there, there are some initiated devotees, disciples of Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Giri Dari Swami, that just happened to be there because we were there on an Ekadasi day. And they live in Panihati, so they come to House of Raghava Pandit every Ekadasi day, and they chant extra rounds, and they have kirtan and do some seva for the deities. So they just happened to be there when we happened to be there. And they offered, "Whoa, we'll take you to all the places. We'll go to Padaha, and we'll go to this place and that place." But our yatra was over, so maybe another time. We'll rendezvous with them, and they'll take us to all these little places that we haven't been to before, that have such spiritual significance. This is just an effort to share a little bit some of what we were doing when we were together in Mayapur. Any comments or questions that you would like to bring up? Krishna Kirtan. You have a question? No?
Of Lord Nityananda, you get it through your spiritual master. Are there any special prayers you're supposed to do?
Hare Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also wrote some song like this, that when we chant the holy name, because we receive that understanding of chanting the holy name through the spiritual master, under the order of the spiritual master, one should pray to Lord Nityananda to please deliver the pure holy name. Because as the representative or direct expansion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya is delivering the pure holy name, and through the pure holy name, Prema Bhakti. So that's one explicit prayer. While chanting, within your heart, you pray to Lord Chaitanya, please deliver the pure holy name. Bhaktisiddhanta said, and when that pure holy name touches the heart, the sound then that we make, that's the pure holy name. Not just making some sound, but the conscious, like we were discussing earlier today, Hemangi was asking about calling out for mercy. So it's the call for the mercy is the call for this purity in the form of the pure holy name. And when that touches the heart, Bhaktisiddhanta says. That's chanting. Chanting with feeling, chanting with quality. It's a call for mercy. Yes.
When explaining about Raghunath Das Goswami, being under the shelter of Swarup Damodar,
yes.
It seems to me that it is something similar to the counselor or the mentor system.
Something.
Is it a proper understanding?
There's some similarities and there's some dissimilarities. I mean, externally there's some similarity. The platform of the relationship of Rati Manjari and Uddhava is, you know, a little different than our, so the internal essence of what's going on in that exchange is something different. But yes, something where he came to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya accepted him and for instruction purposes placed him in the care of Swarup Damodar. Something similar.
I was just thinking whether that system evolved from this past time.
It's just a natural system. I don't know if you can say it evolved from it, but it's a natural system. You're all either very satisfied or tired. Sorry, there are a lot of questions. Okay. So,
thank you very much for this wonderful class. I just have one question. Krishna Katha will purify the heart, especially Bhagavatam, hearing the Bhagavatam purify the heart. That means Krishna's and Krishna's pastimes and devotees of Krishna. Even Chaitanya Charitamrita, that means even again it is devotees. But there's a special significance of hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita and hearing Bhagavatam. How would this benefit us?
How we compare?
Yeah.
Compare in terms of the effect of purification, specifically? Just as Krishna is not different than Lord Chaitanya, or Lord Chaitanya is not different than Krishna, one can say the purification is the same. Practically speaking, they're both inconceivable, but they're both inconceivable in even a different way. The pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are, in one sense, very human-like, and they're even very recent. So it doesn't have the appearance of being storybookish, or, you know, some poet somewhere. But at the same time, the pastimes of Mahaprabhu are just inconceivable. I mean, the quality of these devotees' consciousness, the elevated state of their consciousness, the purity of their love and their relationship with Lord Chaitanya is just it's clearly otherworldly. But there's a, as with Mahaprabhu, there's a very strong component of compassion or odarya. So in hearing the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's a extra dimension of mercy. Could you either lean this way or that way, because I can have eye contact with you. There's a feature of mercy in just in hearing the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As here's what our acharyas describe. In Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan is exhibiting the opulences of Bhagavan in full. Shad Aishvarya Bhagavan. Distinct from Lord Narayan is Krishna, who has the same opulences, but the opulences are not, they're overwhelmed with or eclipsed by the strength of the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. So the Madhurya feature overwhelms the feature of Narayana's opulence, the Aishvarya feature. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, the Madhurya is there and the Aishvarya is there, but the Odharya becomes so strong that one can, the attractiveness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela is not just his divinity or the beauty of and sweetness of his pastime, but the compassion. So hearing his Leela has that special feature of the compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not to say that Krishna is not compassion or Narayana is not compassion, but you know, in fullness that feature is being exhibited. And so the hearing the Leela has that impact. It naturally carries one to that position of feeling the compassion of Lord Chaitanya to deliver the fallen souls, and we're in that category. So that it makes the connection strong. At the same time, his pastimes are very deep and mysterious. They're certainly not to be understood by rational process.
It's meant as a postgraduate studies.
Yes. Yeah, in that sense, right. I can remember subjectively visiting Vrindavan very regularly because I was teaching in Vrindavan, and I felt, you know, I really loved Vrindavan. I could really relate to Vrindavan. And then I became a GBC member and started going to Mayapur for the GBC meetings. And I didn't have the same resonance with Mayapur that I felt. And I shared that with some God brothers, that it doesn't feel the same. In fact, I shared it with Burijan because he lived in Vrindavan. But there's a mystique or it grows on you, the very deep mystery of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and the attractiveness of his pastimes, you know, even being in Mayapur. We had this experience in this yatra. There were several people, I mean a good number of people, that had never been to anything like this. You know, South Indian people that, you know, had never had, you know, Lord Chaitanya and Kirtan, and, you know, it's like older people. They were religious. Like, you know, one of them, I found out later, was a scientist. And, you know, they, in the first, after the first 2 days, They wanted out of there. You know, like they couldn't relate to anything that was going on. But somehow something happened. When they went to Eka Chakra, they did a U-turn. They, you know, they became somehow changed. And they stayed for the whole yatra. And they, before they left, they bought a bunch of books. I heard this from one of the devotees. It was their, you know, their mother. And so in speaking to their mother, you know, how did this impact? The mother said, I want to read these books before I answer your question. And the mother was now chanting. No, something happened. And so on. Other examples like that. And I heard just today that happened with someone who went to Vrindavan last year in Yatra. But so, Mayapur is very powerful. When you enter in the right mood and the mysteries start to come out, it's not like, it's not rational, it's just, it's devotional. It's merciful and very appealing. Even it's not, it's beyond the rational thought process of why it is and how it is appealing. It's just appealing. Like, you know, how do you reason love? Or how do you reason compassion? When you're feeling it, it's not a rational experience. But it's a very powerful experience. It's the mercy of Lord Chaitanya.
I had a question, Maharaj, and devotees was telling that going to Mayapur, I thought, I was thinking, it is the month of Damodar, you know, why normally you everybody goes to Vrindavan, then, you know, I was just thinking like that.
It's not different. And anybody who was in Mayapur during that month and watched what was going on in Mayapur, there were thousands of people offering lamps all at once. You go, at least at our Krishna Balaram temple, during the month of Damodar, it's just so jammed up. It's like, you know, it's hard to stay there because there's too many people in a small place pushing. And even you get in the kirtan, and the kirtan players are being pushed. So, anyway, but the mood is wonderful.
I remember when Panchatattva was installed, I saw the videos, like you were explaining, you know, that Mahaprabhu is there, Mahaprabhu has come, you know, that was so, yes. People were so jubilant that, you know, their expression
was... It was overwhelming. It was... I've only had one other experience like that in my life, and that was the installation of Krishna Balaram. It was, as I said, it was just... waves of mercy. You could feel it, like, you know, standing in the ocean and there's waves coming. You can feel the waves of the ocean. You could feel the waves of mercy. It was, you know, get out a knife and cut out a slice and put it in your pocket. You know, it was thick. Unmistakable. Everyone was feeling it. Very merciful. So, being in that place where those pastimes took place adds to the, you know, it's one thing sitting here in Naperville and discussing about Panihati. It's a whole other thing being in front of the deities of Raghava Pandit, in the house of Raghava Pandit, describing that there's a vibration where that pure devotee performed those pastimes with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. It's like, very special. And then kirtan. And then just sitting and chanting japa. Those places. Yeah? Yes?
My understanding is that mercy is something that one receives it, although he or she doesn't deserve it. And Krishna makes his mercy available through his pure devotion to others. So, in other words, it is not the qualification of the person who is receiving it, but it's the causeless mercy that's flowing down through pure devotion. What I'm having difficulty processing is, why is it that some people receive that causeless mercy and some people don't?
Some people have the receivers on and some people have the receivers off. This is, you know, there's a signal, the radio signal is, and somebody has their receiver off and somebody has it on, and so it's, and the amplifier and the receiver are working. So you hear the radio sound. So there's, there, it's two things. It's, you know, a desire to receive, and how does that desire to receive come about? Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes accumulation of a jnana sukriti. Unknowingly, they're in the association of devotees. They're not even understanding what it is to be, but it happens. Somehow it happens. The devotees are merciful and they give their association. Person doesn't even know what's going on, but it's unknowingly they're getting some sukriti. And over a period of time, the accumulation of that agyata sukriti comes to the point where knowingly they choose, I want some mercy, I want to understand this. Through the association of devotees. That's the key. And then, so they put the receiver on. And then, the other side, we were discussing this morning, Aaron was asking, you know, how do we help people who don't have a desire, or they have to learn by experience, they can't learn just by receiving. How do we help them go beyond having to go through the experience and just receive? The answer is then purity. That's the other factor. And when there's the strong quality of compassion, pure compassion, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Nityananda exhibited, then even people don't have to have their receivers on so much. Just their compassion is so strong, their mercy is so strong. Still some people escape. So when we're in the association, to receive the association of devotees is very important. And to remain in the association of devotees is very important. And it's also important when in the association of devotees to avoid offenses. Because we offend the devotees, then we lose that opportunity of getting that mercy. Not even if the devotees don't, you know, turn the mercy valve off, if they leave the mercy valve on. But if Krishna, in the form of the holy name, sees that his devotees are offended, then Nama Prabhu withdraws. So it's offense against the holy name to offend the devotees. We should be very careful. Seek the association of devotees and be very careful to not offend the devotees. And the remedy is to stay always in the mood of humble service. Yes?
You were talking about Shivananda Singh and...
Talking about...
Shivananda Singh.
Shivananda Singh.
The afternoon and something that really penetrated my heart is his service, like organizing the whole devotees from Mayapur going to Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya every year. Seemed like it's such a difficult service and seemed like he did it so efficiently. And I was thinking, how can one cultivate that quality of efficiency in one's service?
It wasn't just efficiency, it was, you can say, I think a more appropriate word would be expertise. How do you become expert at something? What Prabhupada's teaching is you practice. This is what he taught. Lord Brahma has designed this body in such a way that you practice at something, meaning in devotion. You practice at something in devotion and you become expert. Now, best if you have a teacher, practice with a teacher, like, you know, learn harmonium or redanga or something with a redanga harmonium teacher. So under guidance, you practice. Burijan told me that Prabhupada told him, Krishna consciousness is very simple. You learn something, become expert at that something, and teach that something to others. That is Krishna consciousness. It was in the course of, he was teaching the art of teaching course. And he was sharing, because it's relevant to your question, he was sharing that he did like 3-4 years of research in preparing that book. And he was thinking of a little book, and it's this big, thick book. So one time he went to some very qualified educator in England somewhere. And he was discussing the book that he was writing and asking, you know, for his ideas on the art of teaching. Something to the effect that this professor was saying, oh, you Americans, you always want to reduce something to some formula. Rather, it's an art, and how do you reduce an art to some formula? What Borijan was saying, that there are some key components in the art of teaching. You know, each person is going to do it somewhat differently, as each artist is going to paint a painting or sing a song or dance a dance or design an architectural structure differently. The expression will be unique, but there are certain components. And the main component in expertise is the ingredient of devotion itself, you know, that it is for the pleasure of Krishna. Like Damayanti's cooking. Her thought was that Lord Chaitanya should enjoy. So her happiness was in making things that he would enjoy. And the miracle that's described, it which is part of her expertise, wasn't just like, you know, she learned how to preserve things so that they wouldn't spoil, even they were cooked one year before. You can't do that. I mean, everything can spoil. But the expertise was her devotion. And so the empowerment was in the devotion. Not in technique. Like cooking. Cooking that's really satisfying is not just technique. Certainly there's something involved in you don't do this, you do that, don't do it this way, you do it. But the excellence is in the devotion. You can taste the devotion or the absence of it. It's, you know, it's the most subtle ingredient. And that's expertise. And different people are gifted in different ways. Shivananda Singh was gifted in organization and diplomacy. But it was, you know, it was, that was his spiritual service, as it was in Krishna Lila, his spiritual service, bringing persons to Krishna. Bring devotees together with Krishna. Like, you know, a relationship broker. That's what he did. In Krishna Lila, that's what he was doing. Serving the devotees. He just loved serving the devotees. He did it with such devotion and care. It was done expertly. Through practice. The same, you know, we're rather than an activity like, say, mridanga playing. So, by how has Mukunda become so good at mridanga playing? Well, he learned from his father, but you know, it's more than he learned from his father, and it's more than he has some innate ability. There's some real devotion involved and a lot of practice. So then when he gets association with someone that plays even better than he plays, he's got the ear and he's hearing, and you know, he's hearing things that we don't hear. It's because of the devotion. The Krishna gives that ability. Then he can reproduce that sound. We can't do. Or trying to serve the devotees. It's, you know, something we're going to eat. The topic for tomorrow evening's Sunday feast lecture, Kaladananda Swami is at the temple. So we're going to share speaking tomorrow at the Sunday program. We've already picked the topic. I picked the topic. The topic is the discussion between Satyaraj Khan and the residents of Kalinagram when they were returning back after being in Puri with Mahaprabhu, and Satyaraj Khan asked Mahaprabhu, "We're fallen householders, we don't even know what our duty is. Can you tell us what our duty is? What's the duty of a householder?" So Mahaprabhu says, the duty of a householder is, as far as possible, to always chant the holy name, and whenever the opportunity is there, to serve the devotees. So I'm going to speak about the importance of chanting the holy name, and he's going to speak about the importance of serving the devotees. So we speak about serving the devotees. So how do you become expert at serving the devotees? Is something we all should become expert at. Then we'll have Vaikuntha. Not the spiritual world instead of the material world, just by each other's association. Well, how do we connect with that? It's, you know, being genuinely devoted and then continuing to practice under guidance. We're going to make mistakes. We're not going to be expert immediately. We can become expert by genuinely devoting ourselves to that objective, understanding its importance, not getting distracted, not being moved by our happiness and distress or sense gratification or likes and dislikes, but just serving, unconditionally serving, because that's pleasing to Krishna. With the devotional aspect, it's pleasing to Guru and Krishna. Therefore, we do with that propellant of devotion, please Guru and Krishna. And the more we can get focused on that mission, that objective, that purpose, the more we'll become expert. And we'll learn from our experience. More and more, become more expert, more expert, more expert. So that's Shivananda saying that he's like the evolved expert. And he demonstrated why that expertise when learned to Nanda. Cursed his son's design. Cursed his son's design. Kicked him in the chest. And chastised him severely. I'm so hungry I could die. This, what's pleasing to you? With full faith. Nothing else, just that. That's expert. That's the bestower of expertise is that quality of devotion.
In India, Bangalore, sometime ago, not now. They used to be in Janmashtami, like more than 100,000 people visit like within 2 days. So the government servants, especially government officers, gave a letter of appreciation in a big paper that even though very well organized government officers cannot do this job, but ISKCON did this job, it's very smooth, everything was smooth, and there was a big appreciation. So, you know, this was like 90, 95, 96, something like that. That was like, no, okay. Maybe it's like the devotees, as you said, the devotion, that's what made everything expedited. I'm just relating to that.
Mm. Back to mercy, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the impossible becomes possible. The layman can climb mountains, the dumb man can speak great orations, and the fool can understand the conclusive truths of the Vedas. By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the impossible becomes possible. So in this age where there's this nothing but an ocean of faults, how do you become expert? You have to resource something beyond this place. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.